Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The New Jerusalem. Beautiful for situation. The Gates of Pearl, Chapter 8. Scripture. Psalm 48, 11, verses 11 to 14. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion, go round about her, tell the towers thereof. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. End scripture. As your faith increases during your testings, dear overcomer, know that the end is sure if you hold fast to the Lord alone, keeping your gaze fixed upon only Him. The end result of the storms of life, of the tribulation you endure, will be peace in the fullness of the kingdom of God. Peace that keeps you now, knowing that the Lord's promises are sure, and joy in the knowledge that the work of the Lord in building you up into His image will be completed. Do not allow your life to be overcome with depression, because at this present time, you see the increase of iniquity and false doctrine in the world and in the assemblies of they who profess a walk with the Lord. Know that the Lord is seeking those who would obey Him completely and who would finish their faith and the course that the Lord has laid out for them. Verse 11, let Mount Zion rejoice, let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Very interesting indeed is the fact that in the midst of the New Jerusalem is found Mount Zion, the kingdom of His anointing. A mountain in a city. For now we have seen a manifestation of our hope. This is a time when we can look up for that which will be our full inheritance, even the entrance into the city of God. For if you have endured the testings, if you have endured this race to win Christ as the prize, you will pass through the gates into this city as one who has completed their course. I see two things at the same time in this picture. I see that we are part of His body in the earth now, at this time. This body is the New Jerusalem in its physical manifestation now, at this time in the world. I also see a future manifestation of the city, that the city itself will come forth as the overcoming company of saints, those who make up the city, whose builder and maker was God, a future actual manifestation in the physical world of God's spiritual church, even the New Jerusalem, spiritually glorified in a physical world. The manifestation of the sons of God, the spirit and natural becoming one in a completed whole. When you enter by the gates of pearl, you are entering into the grace of God. For the gates of pearl represented the eternal state of grace, that state which will never be removed from you, nor for anyone upon this earth. The gates stand open to permit access into the fullness of the life of Christ's church that is built into this city. Mount Zion rejoices because the work of His anointing bears completion. The term, let the daughters of Judah be glad, represent to us the surrounding cities that on earth surrounded the natural Jerusalem. That Jerusalem begets daughters. Those who come forth as being from Jerusalem's original situation in holiness. Because God does judge His church, joy is the result. For that judgment removes from us anything that would hinder us entering into the gates of this city. Those surrounding Jerusalem would be observers. They who see this wonderful work and building and structure of God, but who represent this work in this present world. In other words, the gatherings, the fellowships, the one-on-one communion between one and another in the world in his name, glad for the promise of God is sure. Where two or three are gathered in my name, not a gathering of unrighteousness, where man formulates doctrines and beliefs to a full agenda, or where God is held in view as a tyrant and as an exacting influence in wrath, but assemblies where the Lord is honored as holy and as righteous and as one who will never omit anyone from his great grace, who does not deal with man according to his sin or his iniquity. This is the true God in faith that his overcomers are to hold to. Reading these verses then. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Psalm 103, verses 8 to 14. Walk about Zion, and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. Walk about in the kingdom of his anointing, experiencing all God offers unto us in the realm of a sinless existence. Towers and bulwarks, also known as ramparts, were built into the ancient city of the old Jerusalem for protection. The towers formed a dual purpose, in that they allowed the watchman on the wall to see further off into the distance in case of an approaching enemy or scout. The bulwarks were the embanked, sharp, upward slope of the earth, just before the walls, which would cause any approaching army to find it harder to scale the walls to enter in to capture a city. The towers were also set to guard the crops and the vineyards from any intrusion. Towers were set where a vineyard would be built to keep it in view at all times. The main purpose for towers and bulwarks was to ward off enemy attack and to defend the city. But this is not the case for the city of God. The towers and the bulwarks of this city are built to bring mankind in. For the watchmen on the wall defend the city as to its holiness, but also they search with keen eyesight through the expanse of the realms below the walls for any and all that need to enter and to find their solace in God. For all mankind is not worthy to enter this city, for there is none pure, none holy, none righteous, until they accept fully the atonement of Christ and enter by the gates into the city of God. Walk about the city, dear overcomer. Note the various hues and aspects of the grace of God and his anointing. See the towers and the bulwarks exist to search out and to find all those who are yet without the gates, and rejoice that God will bring a full end to each and every soul. For each and every soul will find their lives processed and purified with the right to enter this city and to enjoy the Lord and his dominion forevermore. The verse says, consider her palaces. Within the walls of this city are many palaces. Many are the places for royalty and for the governing work of our glorious risen Lord to exist. not just Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but all those who have overcome as he overcame and are part of his royal government, even the 144,000 who are spotless and pure and will follow the Lamb with us wherever he goes. A special note also is the fact that the palaces represent to us the wealth of this city in its ownership by the Lord and by his overcomers. The various realms within these gates come to us in myriads of revelation that I believe the Apostle Paul referred to when he wrote in Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. These palaces are the exceeding riches of his grace, the wealth of his kindness towards us. Once, some time ago, a friend of mine asked me if we can remember the tribulation of our lives and what we went through in this world. He endured many wrong things in his life that happened to him, and he wanted to remember this and not forget it. For some reason, he wanted to remember the trials of life. I told him that part of the promise of God is to forget the trials of life. One of Joseph's two sons, Manasseh, represented forgetting. These palaces within the walls of the New Jerusalem are rewards for the areas of trials and testings in our lives that we have endured. If we are to remember anything, remember that God always gives the reward of righteousness to those who are exercised through testings. Each palace represents a realm of victory to us. Each place of royalty was formerly a place of tribulation. God will exchange one for the other. The verse says further, that ye may tell it to the generation following. This is of special note, for it gives hope to those of us who love the other members of our families. Generation after generation will enter into the promises of God, each man in his own order. God is faithful through all generations to bring unto his realm all they who were born of the first Adam. Such is the great grace of God. We tell it to the generation following. We tell it to them. We share with our family members, our children, our offspring, this fact that God will work into good all things that touch our lives, including our painful experiences. For the work of the Lord is such as to complete for each successive generation his grace that brings each one through to perfection. This is God's work, not man's. For God will do this, will eliminate the fallen nature in each one, and will perfect Christ's atonement in each one. Again, for God will do this, will eliminate the fallen nature in each one, and will perfect Christ's atonement in each one. I do not believe at all that anyone will fall short of this grace in the ages that are coming. Each will in turn come into the city of God in perfection, there to view the palaces of royalty that belong solely to King Jesus and they who overcame with him by being identified with him. The towers and the bulwarks were there to bring in each one in their own due order when they are seen. For God seeks out each soul in its time to come into this wonderful fullness. There is a realm enjoyed now by those who are overcoming all things. But the salvation of Christ, wrought by his death and resurrection, will touch all humanity. No one will be left out. I fail to find in Scripture any mention of a Christless eternity. I failed to find in Scripture any created person living in eternal rebellion against the Lord or his finished work. And I failed to find in Scripture any intimation of anyone falling short of this completed salvation. Not all will be counted as overcomers, but all will enjoy his saving grace. Psalm 48:14 says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." The wonderment of God being forever. What a mystery. What a joy. God will never come to an end. Our trials will come to an end. Our fallen flesh nature will come to an end. Our failed attempts at holiness through religious effort will all end in nothing. But God will never end. He is always there to redeem all they who are estranged from his love and grace. Nothing will ever be out of reach to the Father. He will restore all things back unto himself. And should we grow old and die in this world, having not seen the fullness of his coming, then know we will simply watch God from the vantage point of heaven itself, to see him work out his purposes in the earth below and in the heavens above. Nothing shall be completed outside of God doing the completing. Nothing shall be completed outside of God doing the completing. What a precious hope. And what a hope for us who are still subject to death, that we will see the purposes of God fulfilled according to all his plan for creation, all consummated into God once again. Thus ends the study of this psalm. Now we turn to Revelation 21 to see the rest of this city of God in greater detail. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.